So let's do a quick review. What did we talk about last week? Headship and submission. And what did we? What were the main points of that? What is headship? Yep, that's right. What do we call it? What kind of submission did we say that is biblical submission? Voluntary submission, right? And it's we're voluntarily following whose will? The Father's will, God's will, God the Father's will, right? And who submits to the Father? The Son. Is the Son equal to the Father? Yes. But gladly submits, willingly submits to the Father, right? And then who submits to the Son? Mankind. All of man submits to the Son, right? We all bow our knee to the Son, and we have to believe and trust in Him that He died on the cross for our sins, right? And then in the home, we have the Father who is submitting to Christ, and then who submits to the Father? Or the man? The man? The wife, right? The woman. So, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Right? And we're supposed to exercise that authority by force? No. How? By example? By how else? Well, that's actually what we're going to get into today. So, what?
Respect.
Respect. Yeah. Understanding. Obedience. Yep. All those things. Okay, so this morning, we're going to kind of be taking that and we're going to continue with it. We're talking about marriage and communication, right? And I'm mostly just going to be preaching to myself this morning, and you guys just get to listen in as I, as the Holy Spirit convicts me of all my wrongdoings in this area. We're going to start by looking at the example that we have, right? We have the Father submits to the Son, the man submits to the Son, and the wife submits to the husband. And so we're going to look at this communication. How does the Son, the relationship of the Son and the Father, help us to understand the proper relationship between the husband and the wife, and also between the husband and Christ? And so we're going to kind of spend a little bit of time looking at that. First passage we're going to look at is John chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will.'" So does the Father here, is He doing His own thing and says, "Son, you stay over there. I don't want you to see what I'm doing. I don't want you to be in here. I don't want you to know about what I have going on. You stay over here, and when I want to tell you something, I'll let you know." Is that the kind of relationship they have? No. What kind of relationship do they have? It's totally open, right? It's an open book. He says that what He sees the Father doing, that's what He does. And the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything that He's doing, right? He wants Him to understand everything that He's doing, right? So that He can see, wow, the Father is awesome. And the Father is awesome. But Jesus said that I only do what I see the Father doing. So the Father sets the example. Shows the Son what He is to do. The Father also tells the Son what to do. John 8:26 says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. The Son communicates to the world what the Father has told Him to say. John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So here Jesus is saying, I have heard these things from my Father. I haven't kept anything back from you. I have told you everything that my Father has told me. Why? Why did He do that? Why does Jesus tell us all the things that His Father told Him? What's that? So they can become close to the Father. Very good. Is it because He doesn't like us? He says, I no longer call you servants, but I have called you friends. Right? He's saying, hey, I want to know, I want you to know what I know because I care about you. I love you. You are my friend. I want to do good to you. And so I'm going to tell you all of these good things that my Father has told me to tell you. So the Father communicates with the Son by example, and the Son communicates what He hears from the Father. The Son communicates what He's told by the Father. John 12:47-50 says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, that which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. And therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, before we go to the next one, you might be connecting the dots and saying, are you saying I'm only supposed to say what my husband says? Am I only supposed to do what my husband does? Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's exactly what I'm saying. Very, very good. Very good deduction. But let me add in that your husband is only supposed to say what he hears from Jesus. And he's only supposed to say and do what he sees Jesus doing. Right? We get the will from the Father. The Father communicated His will to the Son. The Son communicates His will to us, and the dad, the father of the home, the husband, is taking this will and living it out in his life, and the wife is saying, okay, I'm picking up on what you're doing, what you're saying. I see what God is saying. I see how you're implementing that into your life, and I'm going to do the same thing so that we're on the same page. We're not using our authority over the wife to control her in ways that we have not yet seen God use His authority. Right? So, the Father communicates to the Son by those things that we've talked about. The next one is by the authority given. The Father has given authority to the Son. Right? John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He's talking about His life, the sacrifice that He's going to make on the cross. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command, this authority, I have received from my Father. And last week we talked about when Jesus was going up into heaven, he said what? All authority has been given to me from the Father, right? So there's a delegation of authority. So this is not just, oh, hey, I just have to get permission from my husband to do anything. He's just going to control me, micromanage me. No, that's not at all what we're doing here. If that's what you think God is teaching us, that's not at all. You missed the boat. What we're doing is we're uniting in a common purpose to serve God. And in that, there has to be one head, one final decision maker. And God has said that is to be the husband. But the husband gives authority to the wife. Right? You can't do everything. What would be the point of a helpmate if you decided that I was going to do everything? Right? So you have a helpmate, and so you delegate authority. Just like a president and a vice president, the president will delegate authority to the vice president and say, you go and run this area, and I'm going to run this area because this is what I'm good at, and this is what you're good at. And so you delegate authority. And just like the father delegated authority to the son, and the son delegated authority to the church, and to government, and to the family, and to our conscience, right? There's a delegation of authority in each one of those that we're to be obedient to. And in the same way, the husband delegates authority to the wife. Now, I have to admit, yesterday, as I'm preparing this message, I had delegated some authority to my wife, and she comes back and brings back to me what she had accomplished. And what did I do? That wasn't very good. What'd you do that for? Right? That was not a very good way to communicate. I failed as a communicator, as a leader in my home in that area at that time. And I had to apologize. Because I delegated the authority. I didn't tell her, hey, I want you to do this. And then she came back and did exactly what I told her to do. And I condemned her for it. And it was wrong. If I'm going to delegate authority, I have to let her have that authority. And then I have to say, hey, good job. One minor setback. We need to do this over here. Right? So, the father communicates with the son by delegation of authority. Most importantly, by communicating the Father's will. The Son is doing what the Father wants Him to do. John 6:38-40, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. Raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Son is saying, here's what I'm all about. Here's my entire world is what the Father wants me to do. And I can tell you this very honestly, husbands, if you will say, this is my entire world, what Christ wants me to do, your wife will have no problem submitting to you at all. Your household will run so smoothly and so great. Okay, maybe not. Because here's the problem. There's two people with a sin nature in your home, if there's two people in your home. If there's five people in your home, there's five people with a sin nature, right? And we all have our own wills. And we are all individually battling, trying to submit to God's will in our life, right? So the father is trying to submit to God's will, but he has a battle within himself. The wife is trying to submit to God's will. She has a battle within herself, right? The children also are trying to serve God, but they... Well, some of them aren't even trying to serve God. Hopefully they are trying to serve God because you're teaching them to do that. And they have a battle within themselves, and that spills out into our relationships, right? Because we live together. but we are to do the will of our Father. So a husband should be about the will of Christ, who is about the will of the Father. The wife should be about the will of her husband, because the will of her husband is the will of Christ, who is the will of the Father. How does that work out in your life? If you have specific questions, come and talk to me. I will help you. But that is the blueprint. That is the blueprint of how we are to communicate with our spouse, with our family. Next question is, what are we to communicate? What is it that we're telling each other? Right? Hey, you got a dentist appointment, right? Well, that's important. But that's not what we're talking about here, okay? We are to communicate wisdom and instruction. Husbands, you have a responsibility to communicate wisdom and instruction to your wives, to teach them. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Husbands, do not pour forth foolishness to your wife. Ephesians 4:25, therefore put away lying and speak each one of you truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Husbands, do not lie to your wife. Wives, don't lie to your husbands either. Wives, don't pour forth foolishness to your husbands either. What should we be communicating to each other? Wisdom. Instruction. Hey, babe, I want to tell you something I've learned today. It's pretty awesome. Right? Encouragement. That's what we're supposed to be communicating to our wives. Encouragement. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt means negative. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't repeat what happened last week with your sisters, brothers, whatever, and they did something, and now the whole family. That's not even really, is that important? To go over all that stuff, the drama? No. What's going to encourage somebody? Now, if you have to talk about something, we should frame it in a way that's going to bring grace. Right? Just need to let you know that my sister-in-law is in need of some grace from the Lord because she's struggling in this area of her life. Right? Honey, you are in need of some grace from the Lord in this area of your life. When we communicate, we should not do it negatively, but we should speak what is good for necessary edification, and we should encourage each other. Now, the reality is, we could be here all day just reading from Proverbs about verses that would fall into what we're supposed to be talking about and what we're not supposed to be talking about with our wives. We're not going to do that. But I would encourage you, maybe this month, September, you know, take a chapter a day out of Proverbs and start underlining, oh, I'm supposed to say this. Oh, I'm not supposed to say this. Oh, I'm supposed to say this. Maybe get two different highlighters and say, oh, here's what I should say and here's what I shouldn't say, right? Green for what you should say, red for what you shouldn't say. And start thinking about these things. What is coming out of my mouth? Is it good things? Is it positive and encouraging? Or am I the one planting all the weeds in my family's garden? Right? How are we to communicate? We got what are we to communicate? How are we to communicate? My kids have heard this so many times. Positive, encouraging, K-love. That's what should come out of our mouth. If it's not positive and if it's not encouraging, and it's not loving, don't say it. Just don't say it, right? Think, how can I communicate this in a more positive and encouraging way? Before I let it come out of my mouth, I need to think about this. Am I communicating in a way that's going to be received positively? James 1:26 says, and for so those of you who think, hey, I got this under control, or hey, I don't think this is really important for my life, I want you to pay attention to this next verse. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, does not take control of it and say, I need to think about what's coming out of my mouth. If you do not bridle your own tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If you come in here and you pray all the prayers and you sing all the songs and maybe you got the best voice and you got the best prayers, and you walk out of here and you just let crap come out of your mouth and you're just tearing people down left and right, your prayers aren't no good. Your songs that you're singing aren't no good. Your religion is useless if we don't control the words that are coming out of our mouth. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. When somebody comes at us with anger, a husband comes out with anger, a wife says softly in response. Right? Because we're encouraged. When the wife comes at us in anger, right? She's dealing with the kids or she's dealing with work or whatever. The husband returns with a soft answer. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You ever been in a conversation and this is a great conversation, and then somebody just takes it off and a really inappropriate place. And it's like, wow, that's over. That moment that we had, gone. Right? We need to make sure that we are talking about wholesome things. Don't bring perverseness into our relationship. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. It's a commercial for honey. Did anybody sell honey? No, I'm just joking. It's a commercial for pleasant words. Pleasant words. Make sure that what's coming out of your mouth is pleasant, uplifting, encouraging. Extra grace. Extra grace. Annabelle's middle name is Grace. And I wanted her to have that. Why? Because I want it to be a reminder to me. A constant reminder that we need to communicate grace. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace. What is grace? Getting something you don't deserve. That's what grace is. It's getting something you don't deserve, or not getting what you deserve. Our speech should not be laying into people when they deserve it, but giving them grace, inviting them like God does, back into a proper relationship. Yes, you made a mistake, but let's get back on track because I love you. Extra grace. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Communication is an art. You got to get good at it. It takes work, right? It doesn't come naturally. Extra grace. Now, here's a question for you. What does our communication reveal? What does our communication reveal? Anybody want to answer that one? It reveals our heart. Thank you. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Guys, when you say, oh, that slipped, yeah, it slipped out of your heart. That's the problem. We got to get our heart back in God's will. We got to confess our sins and we got to get back on track. Our hearts should be wholly submitted to the Lord. We should be loving God with all of our heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why if you don't control what you say, and out of your mouth is coming all kinds of garbage, it's coming out of your heart. That's because all your heart is full of garbage. And your religion is useless because you haven't loved God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pastor, are you really saying that what I say is that important? Yes. Life and death are in the tongue. That's what the Word says. Life and death are in the tongue. So, let's end with a challenge for wives and a challenge for husbands. Proverbs 21:9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Wives, that's talking about you. Don't be contentious. It's miserable. What should you be? 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing beautiful jewelry, nice clothes. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. If you wouldn't go out the door looking like, you know, whatever it is that you wouldn't go out the door looking like, then don't go out the door with a bad attitude either. Make sure your attitude looks as good as you do. Make sure that you're spending as much time on your attitude and your spirit and the words that you're speaking as you do on your hair, your makeup, all of those sorts of things. When you look in the mirror and you say, okay, that's good enough. Think about, what about my soul? Is that good? Have I spent some time making sure that my attitude towards my husband is positive and uplifting before I go and meet him? Right? Husbands. James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let me say it again. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Every guy thinks he's got righteous anger, right? Oh man, I've got righteous anger here. I'm really angry, and it's for the right reasons, right? No, no. Put away anger. Slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Okay? Let's slow down. Let's think about what's going on. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, there are times when we should be angry, right? We should be angry with sin. We should be angry with injustice. But we need to do it slowly so that we're thinking clearly. What should we be? 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding. Slow down and understand what is it that she's going through. Why is it that she's frustrated? Why does she do what she did? Slow down and understand your wife as to the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers may not be hindered. Here's this lady who's committed her life to you. She's the only one you're going to get unless you die and she gets somebody else. So, like, take some time. Slow down. Help her understand what you're trying to accomplish. Help her understand your will. Help her understand what God wants in this situation. Understand where she's coming from. And then communicate gently and with grace. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, if we're being honest, Lord, we recognize that we all have some work to do in this area. It's so easy to communicate our frustrations, our complaints. It's so easy to be negative. So easy to just focus, allow our mind to just drag us down. Your word says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh is so often in our face, in our mind, constantly bringing new things that we have to really work hard to bridle our tongues. We have to really work hard to set our mind on you so that we can know your will and that we can do it in our life. Lord, it's not an easy thing. It takes a daily dying to self. Daily putting our will aside and saying, God, what do you want me to do? So that we can work together for good. And we need to bring that into our families. Not competing with one another. Not tearing down and one-upping each other. Not trying to be right. Not trying to be, but trying to build together. A working team serving you and doing the things that you've set for us to accomplish. So Lord, help us to slow down. Think about what we're saying. Think about what we're communicating by our example, by what we tell others to do, by the words that come out of our mouth, by the authority that we've delegated, and sometimes we've delegated improperly. By just not doing it. And then somebody else has to pick up the slack. Lord, help us as fathers and husbands to be better communicators. Better followers of you in receiving wisdom and understanding. So that we might then share it with our family. And lead them in the way that you want us to. Lord, I thank you for your word and for this challenge, and I pray that we would not just be hearers, but also doers. Help us not to deceive ourselves, thinking that because we've heard this message, that we're better for it. We're only better for it if we actually put it into practice. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the life that it brings to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.